Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Four out of five of the city's boroughs are surrounded by waters, so it's no surprise that people should flow a little like the tides. Hi there, I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehren. Every decade, it turns out, I thought this was an interesting statistic, that about a third of the population of New York City turns over. New York City Comptroller William Thompson has an analysis of who's leaving, who's coming here. He has some theories as to why. Welcome back to WNYC, Mr. Comptroller.
How are you?
I'm well. So before we start talking about the patterns, just in terms of overall population, the city is still growing a little bit every year?
Yeah, it is. Things have been, for at least the last decade or so, things have been going well in New York City. People have been, there's more people coming to New York City than there are leaving New York City, and the city's growing. It's good, new vitality, new energy. So I think that, it's very positive for New York City.
And that's in contrast to statewide trends in some other big cities in the Northeast. I think Philadelphia is losing population.
Well, if you look at a number of the cities in the Northeast, Philadelphia is losing population. If you look in, a little closer towards the Midwest, Detroit has been, continued to see a mass exodus of people. So, compared to a lot of places, New York City is doing very well.
So people, here's how people come to New York. They come here from other countries. They get born, right, if their parents already live in New York. And the third way is that they come from inside the country. So let's talk about in-country migration. Who's coming and who's going? What are the trends there?
Well, I think those who are coming, we're looking at a younger group of people who are coming to New York City, those in their 20s and looking for opportunity, looking to grow, looking to get experience, looking to establish and start themselves here in New York. And that is kind of, you're seeing more of that. Who's leaving? Those in their 40s. I think that's the age we look at people who are leaving, and the greatest group number, if you look at financial numbers, those in the, say, $40,000 to $60,000 range. And why? We're not sure whether it's, and this is, by the way, looking at 2005 and drawing some conclusion, the numbers from there. And then I think what we're going to do is look at numbers over an extended period of time and try and come up with even, real conclusions on these. Some of this is, I think, if you look 40 to 60,000, it is harder and harder and harder to live and make it in New York. And I think there's articles today in the New York Times and other places that talk about the growing percent of, that we're spending on shelter, whether it is rent or whether it is mortgages. And, the number that is quoted today and that I quote, used to talk about, when I graduated college back in the 70s, you used to have to, the people would say, well, spend 25% of your income on shelter. That number increased over a period of time to spend a third of your salary on shelter, whether it was rent or mortgage. Right now, we're looking at 30% of the people, and definitely in Brooklyn, I think, and the Bronx, who are spending 50%.
Right. So it used to be a week's salary, which would be a quarter of it. That should go to your rent, and that was half your salary.
Yeah, and I think that, people in the $40,000 to $60,000 range, those that, we'd always say would be middle class and now would define themselves almost as moderate income as opposed to middle class, are having the toughest time, and they're moving out of New York City.
And people above $140,000 are also moving out?
Yeah, except, I think that that's, you're seeing some of that, but, I think it's about $160,000 or $140,000 to somewhere in the low twos. You're seeing some movement there, but, as a percentage of that group.
Yeah.
But more and more and more, what you're seeing, what we used to think is that middle class or the, we're leaving, and now those $60,000 to $160,000 or $140,000, families are staying in New York City, and that's something that's good for New York.
Well,
also,
is it that the families with who are earning between $60,000 and $140,000 are staying, or is it that more of the people in that income range might be a couple years out of college?
Good point. Well, it's not a couple years out of college, but I think that what you're seeing is those individuals and or families are staying. Where those who are, in the $40,000 to $60,000 range, they're leaving,
yeah,
and they're going to, and a larger percentage of that group is African American. They're moving to places like Atlanta and North and South Carolina, and we're seeing movement to Florida also. So that's where people are going to, when they leave. One would think that it's just to, you know, are they going to New Jersey? Or are they going? No, they're going farther away.
Well, New Jersey is the number one state that people go to, but Florida's number two.
Yeah, it is.
That's interesting. And I have a little theory. Do you know, you got to look into this, but I bet that a lot of people who move to Florida move there because there are no state income taxes, and maybe a bunch of them move there, but I bet a bunch establish residency there, but still maybe live in New York?
Maybe back and forth, but yeah. As I said, it is in that category, that 40 to 60. And as you said, even if you establish another residence in Florida and come back and forth, making, you know, $40,000 to $60,000, it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard
to make that commute. Maybe they're in the above 140,000.
Yes, possibly.
Range. Yeah, and Atlanta. Atlanta's really popular. Your report states, especially among young Black New Yorkers. Is the city too busy to hate, as they call themselves? Are they doing something New York should be doing?
Well, you know, you talk to people, and we didn't dig really deep into this, but if you talk to people anecdotally, and if you talk and look at some of the more recent things that talk about exit or you know, out-migration of African-Americans, people talk about the climate and opportunity. Mm. And when I say the climate, not the weather, but, you know, being made to feel more comfortable, opportunity for jobs. And that's why I think you're seeing some of that movement to Atlanta.
And people below the thresholds of 40 to 60,000, they just don't have the means even to move, or that they get enough subsidies to make a go of life here.
Well, I think it's a combination of some subsidy, but at the same point, it is hard to leave.
Yeah.
When and if opportunity is one of the reasons that you're leaving, if you're making $30,000, and it also is then, you know, what type of educational background do you have and other things, you don't feel that the opportunity is there for you in other places also, and then you're kind of stuck here.
There are a number of recommendations here, or really just questions, and, you know, to some extent, some of these questions are, well, here's a quote from your report. We need to question whether our schools and neighborhoods are providing satisfactory environments in which children can be raised. There are probably a lot of people listening to this show in New Jersey or on Long Island saying, need to question it. You know, that's exactly why I moved. So is it that you can't, you know, why do you temper, why do you present your argument in such a kind of, you know, non-strident language?
Well, I think that what we did was not to draw some conclusions from the numbers, because what you didn't do is, I said, this was drawn and looking at numbers and looking at 2005, you know, kind of mid-year census or mid-decade census numbers. It wasn't, you know, you didn't come up with these by doing interviews, by reaching out to people, by finding the reasons. I mean, we can all, you know, as I said, I was at one point the president of the New York City Board of Education for almost 5 years. I know that parents in a number of neighborhoods like the elementary schools. But when they got to middle school, and there's still a stress in middle schools, they're still not doing as well as you'd like them to do. Parents left. Parents moved at that point. So, I mean, you could draw some of those conclusions, but at the same point, that's not what this report did. It didn't make guesses. It didn't go out and interview people and dig into the reasons. It was kind of done, as I said, as part of our economic notes that look at how the city's doing. And each you know, quarter, we try and find something interesting to be able to focus on and then talk about in the report.
And we are talking to William Thompson, who's the controller of the city of New York. You know, I looked up, I always wondered why it was controller, even though it's spelled comptroller. And I found out comptroller comes from the French verb to count, compt. So in compiling these statistics, you're really adhering to the true nature of your job, I suppose.
Well, as I said, I think that, you know, there are a number of reports that I've done over the, you know, over the last almost 6 years that go deeper, that dig into some things. At this point, what we did was to take a look, and we thought it raised certain questions. Why do those in the $40,000 to $60,000, you know, dollar range? Why do they leave New York City? And as I said, I can put some guesses forward.
Yeah.
At the same point, one of the things that we'd love to do, and we probably will, is to dig deeper, is to look at multiple years to be able to see, you know, as we talk about migration in and out, this is a snapshot. Dig a little deeper and look over a period of years and then come back with some real in-depth things. And I think that we, you know, as I said, we've talked internally about doing that now.
Well, I mentioned before people who may be living on Long Island and New Jersey, former city residents who would be saying themselves education was a big reason. Taxes also have to be a big reason. In New York City, there is both a state income tax of up to 7.7%, city income tax up to almost 6%. So New Yorkers are in the highest tax bracket, are paying, you know, almost but not quite 50% of their income to federal, state, and local taxes. You write that high state and local personal income taxes may also play a role. again, may, you're not drawing conclusions, but just talk about the role that taxes may play in driving these migration patterns.
Well, it as I said, it may. If you talk to people these days, and again, there's another report that just came out today that looked at property tax rates around the country and looked at some, I think, in New Jersey and Connecticut and New York is having some of the highest property tax rates, mostly in the suburbs, Hunterdon County in New Jersey, Westchester and others. When you get to New York City, though, property taxes are lower.
Right.
And I think New York, I think Brooklyn and Queens were 30th on the list.
Right. But we also have a lot more renters.
No, we do. But as I said, those property taxes, sure, we have lower property taxes, but no, again, we have higher. We have a federal that everybody pays. We pay a state tax. We pay a city tax. We pay a number of other things and sales tax in different places. It is tough at times as far as looking at New York City as a place where taxes are high and higher than a number of other locations. Does that push some people out? Some at the same point, looking at the surrounding, at the surrounding neighborhoods, some of the suburbs, the property taxes there push people into New York City in some way. So these are questions that in the end that you look at. Are taxes too high? And not just taxes, the cost of living in New York City these days being
right.
incredibly high.
The going out your door tax, which is used to be $20. I feel like it's $40 now. you can't go out the door without spending $40.
It's getting tougher, whether it is rent. Whether it is the cost of things like insurance and gasoline, and you name it,
yeah.
It's harder and harder to be able to live in New York City.
You're listening to WNYC 93.9 FM and AM 820, WNYC.org. I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer, talking to New York City's Comptroller William Thompson. You know, in your report, you talked about education, you talked about taxes. If a similar report were written, I don't know, 15 years ago, crime would probably be mentioned as a major reason for pushing people out. I didn't see it come up so much. That says something about the state of things in the city.
Well, I think, the reputation that New York has earned over the last decade as the safest big city in America is something that we're all, very proud of, but also something that has a real impact on life in New York City. Improvement in or reduction in crime, improvement of quality of life goes a long way to attracting people back into New York City. If you go out in the streets of New York City at night now, 15, 20 years ago, things were quiet.
Yeah.
If you go out now and things are busy, there is nightlife, people aren't scared to come out. And I think that goes a long way to migration into New York, to people staying in New York City, and people wanting to come here from around the country and around the world.
And whereas there's low crime in a lot of the surrounding bedroom communities and a lot of the surrounding cities from New York, that's not true at all in cities like Trenton and Bridgeport, Connecticut. Crime has risen.
Crime has gone up in a number of places. And if you look in major cities around the country, other major cities haven't been able to both reduce crime as far as New York City has, as well as maintain that reduction. Things have moved upwards in those places. New York City is still, crime rate continues to move down. That's impressive.
I wonder if presidential candidate Rudy Giuliani will then be seizing upon this report and saying, see what I did?
I think it is a safe bet that if you look at his campaign now, he talks about what he did in New York City to be able to position us where we're at right now. So I'm sure he's going to try and take continual credit for the positive things in New York City.
I mean, how much of it do you think he deserves?
I think he deserves some of it. At the very least, helping to drive crime down initially and improve quality of life, and more than anything, perhaps showing the government in New York City could work. I think those are things that he will get credit for. At the same point, if you take credit for the good, you have to take some credit for the bad and the things that occurred. And I think if you look at the way that he divided the city, I think that he has to take some of the blame for that, if not a lot of the blame for it, for a New York City that was divided, that was polarized, that he helped to polarize.
Same question to you about his successor, Mayor Bloomberg. How much credit, how much blame for the overall picture? Talk about crime, talk about how desirable New York City is for people who want to move here.
Well,
people from across the country want to move here and across the world.
If you're the mayor of the city of New York, you get credit for, whether both the good and the bad.
Right.
So, crime reduction and the mayor, obviously, I'm selecting the police commissioner and being at the helm of the city of New York gets a lot of credit for continual crime reduction inside of New York City. You get credit for the things that you do and the things that you don't do. He has been involved in that, and he has helped to spearhead that as the mayor of the city of New York. He selects the police commissioner, and then You know, it is fair to give him a lot of the credit for that crime reduction and continued, you know, maintenance of quality of life. At the same point, you know, as I said, the things that you get credit for when you're the mayor that you might not have had as much to do with things like the economy. The economy has gone well in New York City in the last few years. Mayor gets credit for that also. That also contributes to crime staying down and crime perhaps even going down further because you have a good economy.
Back to these migration statistics, I wanted to talk about a couple of things that actually rhyme that people always talk about when talking about people moving out. One is the issue of brain drain. The other is the issue of white flight. I'm not seeing, take the second one first. I'm not seeing any evidence of that, that the in these statistics, but you tell me, is the racial component of people leaving and people coming, is it noticeable one race more than another?
Well, as I said, I think that I don't know about coming here. If you continue to look at New York City and the population numbers, and as I said, now I'm not quoting my report, but looking at the newspapers or looking at stories in the last couple of days, it appears as if, you know, that you're seeing a continued slow but migration out of African Americans in New York City, even though the African American population in New York is almost 25%. I think it's 24%. So that continues. The one thing, as you point out the report, there are people, and you look at educational levels, who are moving out. But at the same point, it appears as almost the people who are coming here, whether it is from other places around the world or around the country, are kind of balancing off.
Yeah.
Those with master's degrees, those with bachelor's degrees, it almost appears to be a balance. So you're not seeing brain drain as much. It is, you know, are those younger people who are coming and replacing other people who are moving out, you know, for family reasons, for others that, you know, oops, let's go find, as you pointed out, let's go find another school or a different place. So there are a lot of questions, but no, you're not seeing the white population in New York City, if anything, is stabilized and maybe creeping up a little bit. And no, you're not seeing a brain drain in New York City, even though the one thing, and while educational levels may be the same and younger people appear to be coming in, the one thing that you are losing, and I don't know that you can't put a price tag, but you do have to take a look at it, you're losing people with more experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something. So as we look at, you know, you look at people who are close to 40 who are leaving, those are people with experience who have been here in New York City, who have helped the city to grow, and now are leaving for whatever reason. But then they're being replaced by people perhaps with similar educational backgrounds, but not as much experience. And I think that's a little bit of a concern.
Right, because you do write in your report, there's a quote, the city is losing a disturbingly high number of well-educated households. But if you look at the raw statistics, you break it out by education level, and the sheer number of people at every education level goes down in terms of leaving, except for master's degrees and I think it's postgraduate degrees.
Right.
Yeah.
But as I said, what you're losing people who are a little older who have experience. And I think that's something that we just, you know, I think one of the things that we'd like to do is how can you retain those people? Because it would be nice to see continued migration or plus migration into New York City of people with, you know, with degrees and other things, people, but also we'd like to keep people with experience here in New York City.
This is Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer, and soon we'll be taking all your calls. If you're thinking about staying, if you're thinking about maybe coming in from the outside, we're at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-WNYC. And one last question for you, and I was asking you about the last two mayors. I don't know. Some people are saying maybe you'll be the next mayor, or maybe it's a job you want to look at. Today, several black ministers are going to be on the steps of City Hall, and they're making the case that police brutality and racial profiling are a major problem. And last week on the show, Brian talked to the New York Civil Liberties Union, and they were saying that there was a report that was critical of how the NYPD and the CCRB interact. The head of the Civilian Complaint Review Board has called for a remedy, including an administrative law judge. So I want to ask you, what do you think of that proposal? What concrete steps has the NYPD taken to deal with the issues being raised by the black ministers and the Civilian Complaint Review Board today?
Well, as I said, I haven't, you've talked a bit about it, haven't gone in depth, and I'd like to look in greater depth at the recommendations. The one thing that I think has become apparent over a period of time, and if, you know, as I said, I've grown up in this city, I lived here all my life. The one thing you saw, and particularly after the Sean Bell shooting, it wasn't as much just about the situation and about that shooting. It was about people being, you know, African Americans, Latinos, others being stopped by the police, being, you know, being embarrassed for no reason at times. It was a question of respect and the way that people are treated. And I think that continues to be a situation that we need to do better at, that the city needs to do better at, that everyone, again, as I said, I think, you know, I'll give the mayor and the police commissioner credit for doing, you know, for continuing to try and keep a very positive attitude and tone in the city. At the same point, the people in the city, as they point out, people of color, feel that they are not being treated with respect, and that goes a long way. As your police force gets younger, and those who are here 20 years in the police force and then retire, you have a younger police force. You have a police force that is growing as far as the number of African Americans, Latino, and women. At the same point, it is important that no matter what the composition of the police force, that respect probably be one of the biggest issues that is drummed home to officers out there in the streets. It's important the way that they treat people, and not just adults. That younger people also, in their interactions with law enforcement, are treated with, you know, with respect also.
But just to be specific, once you've read, once you've heard what the ministers are saying, and once you've read these reports about the NYPD not really taking the Civilian Complaint Review Board's complaints to the level, at least, that the ministers and others want them to take it, you'll be commenting specifically on that?
Yes, and okay. But at the same point, the one thing, one would think that a Civilian Complaint Review Board needs to be taken seriously. That is what is there for, that the recommendations are taken seriously by the police department, and that in cases where police officers don't do what they're supposed to do or overreact, that there is discipline on the other side, and that it and the police department go out of their way to stop that.
All right. William C. Thompson, Comptroller of the City of New York, thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Always a pleasure.